Okay, Maisie, so this is a little audio feedback thing for you. I haven't done anything more with this essay because I'm just not sure. I don't really want to put a load of work into it and then discover that you're going to start the question elsewhere, particularly since you say you don't like it. I'd rather spend time on the thing that you do like. There's lots of good stuff in it. I like your writing. And I'm not sure about the idea of this political point. I mean, yeah, they were writing post First World War, but and you know, politics is a difficult one to define. What is politics? I'm just not sure that this essay is really helping you terribly much to do something you want to do. You know, you said this thing here, if modernist writers are more interested in allegorical messages, political functions, is their craft and technique consequently neglected? This is the problem I think I have with it. That if you set up an essay in which you are trying to critique the actual writer's craft, the technique that modernist writers are using, you're setting yourself a heck of a business because you're then trying to critique T.S. Eliot, aren't you? Well, how do you go about doing that? You know, in an A-level essay, I just wouldn't do it. I don't think. That said, in that first paragraph, there's lots of stuff that I really like on the whole idea that what these writers are trying to do is grapple with disillusionment, alienation, all those kinds of things, this idea of societal decay. Brilliant, fantastic. But why worry, why set up an issue where you have to then deal with the problem of technique? Why not just say something like, you know, how to compare the ways in which Virginia Woolf and T.S. Eliot explore alienation and decay in the society of their time, in the light of your wider reading, or something like that. Keep it absolutely simple like that and take Orwell out of it entirely. I know you want to grapple with something, but you know, you can just set the thing up like that and you don't need to then worry about neglecting of the technique. They really don't neglect technique. I mean, I don't know how you can say that. She is a cutting edge writer of I mean, it's intensely technical because she's trying to do something with her writing, Woolf, that no one had really done before. And likewise, Eliot, I mean, you know, he's completely unique, really, in the way that he intertwines and interweaves different voices and intertextual things. You can't say they're not interested in technique. They're phenomenally interested in technique, so I don't get it. And is Orwell really talking about Woolf and Eliot? I can't believe that he is, so I don't know where you've pulled that quote from. He might be talking about people of his own era, I don't know, because you see, he was writing in the 40s. Also, I don't think, you know, what are we doing with this Oscar Wilde stuff? There's no time for that, really. I don't think. You know, aestheticism. Okay, yeah, they were a response to aestheticism, I believe, the modernists. They were starting something new, and in that sense, you know, that I guess you could say that it's a drier form, although I much prefer Woolf to Wilde. I just feel like there's so much more in it, but then that's a personal thing. You know, and I think we can salvage the bit at the bottom of the page there, Maisie, the bit about the use of these shifting perspectives. If you could then link that through, as I was saying, to the point you were making about you know, about a kind of inability to, that these identities are kind of a little bit obscured or overlapped. And that's perhaps part of what Woolf is trying to do. quite like that idea. Don't really know what the burial of the dead point is leading to. You know, you talk about a loud, busy, modern world. But does that evidence really support that? I'm not sure it does. The polyphonic point is a good one. And again, would work rather nicely with the point you're making about Wolf shifting perspectives and voices. You know, they're both in that sense sort of polyphonic, aren't they? And that I agree, could be about the way in which these writers are trying to deal with the with a less defined, where identities are more kind of rootless, or yeah, less defined, which could link to my original point about alienation, I suppose, could it? Or come up with a different title which allows you to do that. You know, in terms of politics, again, if you're doing politics in the pure sense of politics, as in socialism, Marxism, whatever you want to call it, neither writer, to my mind, does very much of that at all, really. They're not political critiques. That's definitely true of Orwell, but I don't see that it's true, really, of Wolfe and Eliot. They're not, you know, I think Eliot is not that excited about, or he's a bit worried about revolution and so on. And Mrs. Dalloway, likewise, there's a sense in which she's interested in the social politics of the time, I think. But the actual politics that Mr. Dalloway gets in, the whole point there, surely, is that Mrs. Dalloway is not interested in it or doesn't understand it. Gender politics, okay, fine. Again, I'm not sure the word politics is really helpful for us, is it? You know, by the bottom, you're wandering onto Orwell. Well, we're not dealing with Orwell, are we? You're talking about Animal Farm. I don't want to know about Animal Farm, really, Maisie. So I hope that's helpful. So that's a little sort of podcast for you, just to kind of give you some steerage. I think, as I say, there is something interesting in this essay somewhere, but I do think you need to redo the title. Just get it really nice and simple, something that you can write about, and then craft your argument and off you go. Get stuck into the books, get stuck into individual sequences and really, really dig around in them, I think, and then you'll be off to a, you know, you'll be in a good position. Okay, Maisie, I hope that's helpful.